Yes, 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 yes. We started a series several weeks ago. Look, we're on part 11 today, and we've been talking for a few months, on marriage and family. Y'all, it is the foundation of our world. It is the first institution. Family and marriage is the first institution that God ever put together, and it is under attack. It is under attack. Family is under attack, and so that's why we're talking about these things, because we as the church must know the truth. With the generation that we're bringing up now, they're not hearing the truth, and the truth is not normal to them. It is not the norm for them. And so if we don't stand up for what the truth is, and I'm going to show it to you from the Bible, the Bible says some very bad things will happen to these generations that come up and will affect us. And as the church, we've got to be the ones that are the pillars of truth. So put my diagram up there for me. Today we're going to talk about raising children, but let me just review real quickly. Y'all see the diagram? We've already talked about security and trust, communication, forgiveness, finances, roles and responsibilities of husband and wife, and sex and romance. Now, we didn't go into great detail. Pastors Bob and Enda, every single week, we are committed to it. Every single week they have a class on Saturday. But once again, many people will wait till they have a tragedy and then want to meet with us on times when we're not, you know, call us in on Saturday and call us in after, you know, on these times. And it's like, good God, it's going to take an investment on a weekly basis. Hit the person next to you and say, don't be mad at that. Y'all, that's good news. God has life so that it is a progression. Aren't you glad that children come out as babies rather than adults? And all the ladies said, come on, somebody. Now, notice on the diagram here. So we've talked about a lot over these last several weeks. And just go online if you've missed any of the services. And if you need help in any of these areas, get in the Marriage on the Rock class. That's why it's here, because we're that interested in you being successful in your marriage. And it really is the greatest thing that you can do for your life. Have, number one, a relationship with God. It's the greatest thing you're going to do for your children. There's nothing greater you can do for your children than having a genuine relationship with Jesus. And as a result of that genuine relationship with Jesus, a genuine relationship with Jesus will cause you to do things not like the world does it. Genuine relationship. Are you with me? And your children have to be raised in an environment where God is the centerpiece, where everything is surrounded around Jesus. And the Bible says that. Watch this. So that's why we have God on this all through the house here. God has to be a part of your security and trust, your communication, your forgiveness, all these things. He is the foundation of the house, and we saw several scriptures that said that. Let's review them real quickly. Look at Psalms chapter 127. This psalm only has 5 verses, and I've only been quoting the first 2 verses, but the last 3 talk about children. Look what it says. Unless the Lord builds the house, that's what we're talking about, doing it God's way. Say, do it God's way. That's what we're talking about. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You can stay up all day and all night trying to get things right, but if you don't do it God's way, it's not going to work right. And that's what he's saying here. They labor in vain who build it. Build what? Build the family. Build the house. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Say, relationship with Jesus. That's what this is talking about. Watch this. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. What he's saying here, it's in vain for you to work real hard if you don't do it God's way. It's not going to work. He gives you rest when you do it his way. Are you with me? That's what he's saying. Look at this next verse. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. He's saying here, they're a reward. They're a blessing. Look at this. The fruit of the womb is a reward. This generation doesn't think so. This generation has made it legal for since 1973 to kill 61.8 million babies right here in the United States, and 60% of them are African-American babies. Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. And why people get angry at that is because of the generation we live in. Truth has fallen in the streets. And the Bible says it. That's why no one is shocked at that. That's a fifth of our whole population here in the United States. For every five people, that's one being killed. Count five and kill one. That's what's happening here. Are y'all listening to me? But you'll see how quiet it got? And in this generation, I get persecuted, and many pastors are even afraid to say what I just said because many people will leave and get mad at that. How dare you say that? How dare you say that to me? It is my body. No, it is not. But again, that's based on the word. But the church, unfortunately, is more discipled by the world and the culture than Christ and the word. But we're going to change that here in Destiny and in Greensboro. Watch what it says here about children. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. What he's saying here, an arrow, a warrior had to make and build his own arrows. He made them. There's four parts to the arrow, and I have to do a whole series just on this. But he made the arrows. He's the one who made them straight. And then he's the one who had to direct it. And wherever he aimed it at is where the arrow went. Whatever direction the maker of the arrow pointed the arrow is the direction it's going. So it's telling us that children go the direction that their parents guide them. Strong saying, strong saying. Are you with me? Watch this. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Not anxious, not ready to commit suicide is the man who has a quiver full. Quiver is the thing that holds the arrows, and typically it would hold, a quiver is five. That means five children. Good gracious, one child. Come on, somebody. Woo! Happy is the man who has his quiver full. So he's saying, when you do it this way, children will become a joy. All right? They shall not be ashamed. You won't be ashamed of your children, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. In other words, he's saying that if you direct children the right way, their enemies will fail. The things that come against them will fail. Are y'all with me? Look over, and we talked about this, building the house, and we also talked out of Matthew, just foundation text, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Jesus teaching about living life, basing life on his word, building your marriage, building your family on the word. Jesus said this, therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, say apply it, lives by it. Uh-huh. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. What's his name? Jesus is the rock. So he's saying build your family, build your life on the principles of Jesus. All right? But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, in other words, they still hear it. Sitting right next to you is somebody who's hearing the same thing that you're hearing. But watch this. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, does not do them. That means they heard it, but they refuse to do it. Right? Didn't apply it. Will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came. And the why? Because that's the world we live in. It's going to throw stuff at you that's unexpected. And he says, and the rains descend. How many of y'all have seen some rain in life? Some floods in life. That could take you out. Y'all with me? That's what he's talking about. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell and great was its fall. So Jesus is saying, if you don't do it this way. Now, why is that? Why is that? Why is that? Is because God is the one who made you. And the manufacturer has the exclusive right to tell how the product works. God isn't saying, don't do this because I don't want you to have fun. He's saying, don't do this because that will kill you. Are y'all with me? God isn't saying, don't sin because I want to be a killjoy to you. Don't sin because it will kill you. Are y'all with me? And just like you tell your kids, don't play on the stove when they're little, not because you don't want them to eat. You want them to eat, but you don't want them to die in the process of eating. Come on, somebody. herein lies the truth of the scriptures. God has given us the scriptures because as an instruction manual to raising children, to being married, to doing all the things in life that he's made us to do and to enjoy life. Jesus said it like this: the thief comes not before to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they may have and enjoy life, have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Say it, God's not mad at me. He's madly in love with me. Y'all get that? God's not mad. It's just like you as a parent who says, no, don't play out on the street, Johnny. Not because you don't want him to have fun. You don't want him to get hit by a car in the process of having fun. Come on, somebody. All right, raising children. Good God, Jesus. We covered marriage first because it really is the prerequisite for raising children properly. Now, listen, let me give this disclaimer up front. None of us have done it all right, particularly the speaker. Let me just say that up front because you think, sometimes people think, well, because I'm up here teaching it, that I've done it all right. Please! Say amen. Amen. But not that strong. Don't say it so strong. We've all made mistakes, y'all. So please don't hear these sessions as condemnation. Don't hear these things as me saying, oh, you did it wrong. No, if I'm pointing a finger at you, I've got three right here pointing right at me. We're all human. We've all made mistakes. We've all missed it, but we don't have to keep missing it once we find the truth. When we know better, we do better. Come on, somebody. And so that is my obligation. That is my, it's incumbent upon me as a pastor to teach the truth from the word. Are y'all with me? So raising children, it is one of the most challenging things in life, but we see from the scriptures, it's supposed to be a joy. The problem is the culture we live in now is adamantly opposed to doing it God's way. We live in an anti-Christ culture. The culture is against everything that's scriptural. And unfortunately, many believers have adapted more to the culture of the world than the culture of the kingdom. They're more tuned in to the news on television that will lie to you than the good news of the scripture. Come on, it's just true, and I know nobody wants to say amen about that, but it's true nonetheless. Amen? So the Bible talks about raising children in this generation. It talks about the generation that we're living in. The Bible calls it the last days. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Now, I may have to continue next week. Will y'all come back next week? Because there's so much. The Bible is so filled with truths about raising children. Amen? All right, watch this. Look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. I'm going to read it out of the NLT, New Living Translation, for simplicity. He says, you should know this, Timothy, Paul writing here to Timothy, that in the last days there are pastoral epistles and there are church epistles. Ephesians, Corinthians, they're epistles to the church. Then there's Timothy, Titus, all these pastoral epistles. They're written by a bishop, the Apostle Paul, written to leaders to lead the people. All right? And so this is one of those. So he's specifically talking to Timothy, but he's teaching him how to teach the people, right? He says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Say amen. Why? For people will love only themselves and their money. Is that not the day we live in? They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God. Most of social media is about boasting. That's a strong saying. I know it's a strong saying. But look at me, look at me, look what I do, look what I got, look what I don't. You don't. Be real careful. They will be boastful and proud. Not all of it, but a lot of it, okay? Don't take offense to that. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, though. Scoffing at God. In other words, when you say truth like, you know, we're killing 61 million babies and we're taking, if I showed on this screen how an abortion is committed, I could probably be arrested. You get it? It's that graphic and that vow. People would hate me. People would be angry when it's something that's going on. And people, when every Saturday, when people are out here, different churches around the city, us included, are going over here just to pray for people, there's college universities that have sent their students here to spit on the people praying. Spit on them, cuss at them, call them vile names for doing nothing but praying for mothers that are about to have an abortion. From a distance. Do y'all get the world that we're living in? Scoffing at God. Disobedient to their parents. He mentions this in here. Watch, and I'm going to show you the scriptures. Disobedient to their parents. The culture today teaches kids to be independent and rebellious against their parents. Disobedient. You got to voice yourself. Is what they teach them, right? And ungrateful. Do you know, Pastor Joe taught it so well. He taught it. He talked about the generations and how this generation today is entitled. They feel entitled. You owe me this. You owe me. The government ought to pay for my college. The government ought to pay for my health care. The government, are you kidding? Okay, all right. Are people getting mad? Yeah. For people will, they will consider nothing sacred. Ooh, nothing sacred like marriage and sex, and they will not consider those things sacred. All right? Next, please. Next, verse 3. Thank you. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. Hate what's good. The Bible talks about it in Isaiah 5 that good will be considered bad and bad will be considered good. Bitter will be considered sweet and sweet will be considered bitter. A flipping of the morals. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than love God. Are y'all listening to me? Now, let me show you. There's a passage of scripture I've been wanting to share out of Isaiah 59 that it feels like it was written for today. It's like reading the newspaper today about what's going on in our society today. And why am I talking about this? Because we've got to take this serious about our children and our family. We've got to take this serious. All right, watch this. Look over in, what book am I talking about? I'm talking about Yeah. Isaiah 59. Isaiah, thank you, baby. Isaiah chapter 59. And look over, the whole chapter is about the end times. But look at this. It talks about this. It sounds like this generation that we're living in right now. Verse 7, I'll start. Their feet run to do evil, and they rush to commit murder. They think only about sinning. Misery and destruction always follow them. Next. They don't know where to find peace or what it means to be just and good. They have mapped out crooked roads, and no one who follows them knows a moment's peace. So there is, watch this, so there is no justice among us. No justice. And we know nothing about right living. Notice he said here, and we know nothing about right living. First he was talking about the world. Now he switches to the church. We know nothing about right living. Because of how the world is, now we know nothing about right living. There is no justice among us. In other words, what he's talking about, there's no righteous judgment. We don't know how to judge what's right and what's wrong anymore. Are you with me? When we look now and say, well, this is how God said it should be, people will argue that. No, that's not really alive. That's not really alive. That's just a blob. No, that's not right. They will lie to you because they've been lied to. So there's no justice among us. And we know nothing about right living. We look for light but only find darkness. Why? Because the church has been silenced. And I get it. Because when I stand up and say truth, people leave. I'm not coming to him anymore. I used to get upset when they'd have a friend of mine who's a pastor at a great church, one of the largest churches in the country, and they'd have him on CNN, and they'd have him on all these different late night talk shows, and they'd ask him a real simple question that has a simple answer, and he'd beat around the bush about it. And I'd go, it bothered me at first, until I started preaching the truth more. Then I could feel. When you say something, the pressure of the world tries to silence truth. And believers don't know truth and therefore don't want to hear it because they take offense at that. Take offense when you say a marriage is between a man and a woman. Who's he think he is saying that? And then people leave, and it affects. So you don't want to affect people. You don't want to cause, you know, it causes us to have to lay off people, and because now that income isn't there because people don't want to hear truth. And this is how the devil pressure. Y'all remember it? There were in, right here in our city. They were saying, you know, North Carolina has stood up for, we're going to keep bathrooms separate. Men go in this bathroom, women go in this bathroom. The NCAA said, if y'all do that, if you don't bow your knee to this, we're going to take this whole conference from you all. Oh, we better get rid of that governor and put in one that believes in this now. Do y'all hear this? Y'all hear it? Okay, watch what he says here. There's no justice among us. We know nothing about right living. We look for light but only find darkness. We look for bright skies but walk in gloom. Talking about the church. We grope like the blind along a wall. We ourselves blind, filling our way like people without eyes. We can't see right as a church. Even at brightest noontime, we stumble as though it were dark. Among the living, we are like the dead. Talking about the church. Notice he switched it to we. We growl like hungry bears. We moan like mournful doves. We look for justice, but it never comes. We look for rescue, but it is far away from us. For why? For our sins are piled up before God and testify against us. The church! Are y'all listening to me? Yes, we know what sinners we are. He's saying here, we know the sin that we've done. Like this. We know we have rebelled and have denied the Lord. We have turned our backs on our God. We know how unfair and oppressive we have been, carefully planning our deceitful lies. He's talking about the church that's been deceived. Come on, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. This is such a hard saying here. He says, watch this. Our courts oppose the righteous. The court system is against what's right. And justice is nowhere to be found. Why? Truth stumbles in the streets and honesty has been outlawed. Truth has been outlawed. No, we have a right to kill these babies and we're going to do it and the law says we can do it. You churches, you better marry homosexuals and gays. We have nothing against homosexuals and gays except that God said, no, this is what marriage is. You get what I'm saying? No, we love the homosexual and the gay. We love them. God loves them. We love them. But we love the adulterer too. But we can't start saying, everybody just start adulterating now. Yes, we're bound up by that. So just go ahead and do it. No! Hit the person and say no! Watch this. Yes, truth is gone. Look at this. And anyone who renounces evil is attacked. You renounce evil, you get attacked. Come on, this is the time that we live in, and now we're raising children in that generation. Many of the things that you and I faced in our generation. I was born in 1961. You get it? So that's a long time ago. But when I was raised up in the 70s and went to college in 1979, what I faced in college was shocking. But I was 18 years old. What we face going to college, your kids are facing now in middle school. And if you and I weren't ready for it at 18, think of how they are at 10. No, do not get it twisted. Your kids know already what's going on sexually. They already know what homosexuality is. They already know that because they're being taught it at school from teachers and from friends. They're knowing that. And they're being told that's normal. And if you say something that it, if you say it's not, if you say no, that is not God's design, you're going to be persecuted. You're wrong. You're going to be called a gay basher, a hater, a homophobe, and all these terms when no, you want to do is stand up for truth. You're not putting anybody down, but because truth is gone, this is the generation we're raising our kids in, and this is why you and I have to wake up. And take the word of God seriously. Because three and four generations of being raised without repentance, what the Bible shows us is it kills a generation. There's many of us who've seen whose grandparents raised up outside of church, didn't know anything about God. They raised kids like that, and their sins started multiplying. They started from sin and thinking that's normal. That next generation, that third generation, are heinous. Are you with me? And that fourth generation, usually that's where it stops. It gets cut off there. And that's what the Bible's talking about. That third and fourth generation get cut off. Not because of God, but because of their sin kills them off. And this is the danger that we're in our society now if someone doesn't stand up for truth and justice. Say amen right there. All right, jump down to verse 21, I think. Is that my last verse there? Go to the next one that I have. Yes, here's the answer. Here's the solution in verse 21. And this is my covenant with them. With who? The ones who are his people. Says the Lord, my spirit will not leave them, and neither will these words I have given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children. He said, here's going to be the solution. Here's what's going to deliver you. I'm not going to take my word from you. I'm not going to take my spirit from you. Start speaking that word. Get the word in your children and your children's children. This is the remedy for the age that we live in. We've got to train our children in the way that they should not depart. The way. Are y'all with me? Train them in that way. Not a way, the way. Train up a child in the way. Jesus said, I am the way. He's saying, train your children up in Jesus, in kingdom principles. But we can't train them up in something we ourselves don't know or do. Oh, you might as well just say amen right there. Just go ahead. All right, let's see. What time is it? How many? Yeah, okay. I'm going to get to this next part right here. And this may be as far as I get. Okay, I was trying to explain here. Y'all get what I'm saying about that generational thing? And look in Exodus. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 and 7. Yeah, this is that passage that I'm talking about where many people talk about this generational curse. What God is talking about here is if sin isn't dealt with generation after generation, the effects are grander on that third and fourth generation because it's just multiplying now. They're not paying for the sins of their mothers and fathers. They're paying for their own sins, but their own sins are much more heinous now because they saw their parents do certain things. Their parents were raised up. Have y'all seen this before? Have y'all seen it? Please, you've seen it where parents, like a single mom, and no hate on single moms. Stuff happens. But if a single mom raises another single mom, and another single mom raises that single, and that next one, and it goes on generationally, come on, now there's a whole mindset against marriage. It becomes normal now. And at some point, we've got to stop that. Are y'all with me? Where the church celebrates it. Like, celebrates being pregnant without a family. That is not to celebrate. Yes, stuff happens, and God loves us. You get what I'm saying there? Don't run out of here and say, pastor is putting people down. That's not what I'm doing. I'm saying generation after generation, if we don't repent of these things and change our thinking, now those kids that come up in that think that's normal, and then the day is coming of retribution. That cannot go on like this and stuff be normal. Watch this. And the Lord passed. Moses said, I want to see you. Here's what God did. He said, I'm going to pass before you. Watch what he said. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity. Say, I'm forgiven. and transgression and sin. So my transgression and sin is forgiven. But by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. What is he saying? He's saying, yes, but their sins, I can't take away the consequence of that. If you drink a fifth of liquor every day for the rest of your life and your kids see you do that, there's a good chance they'll do it. And there's going to be consequences. I can't erase the consequences of that. Why did the Lord do that to me? He didn't. What you were doing did. Do y'all see it there? Amen, amen. Let's skip on down. Jump on down. Go over to Ephesians. Now watch. Ephesians chapter 6. How's my time? Yes, yes, I've got 15 minutes. Ephesians, y'all right? I've got about 10 minutes. I'm going to close early. Ephesians chapter 6. These four or five verses here, is it four or five? Five verses here are a commandment in the New Testament that God has given to children. All right, watch this. Children, do what? Obey your parents. What parents? And the Lord, watch this, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, let me just break that down just for a second. Children, the first command that God tells children is, children, you obey your parents in the Lord. Why did he say in the Lord? Because there are parents that are not in the Lord that will tell their kids to do some crazy stuff. Steal, lie, prostitute, sell drugs, do drugs. Are y'all with me? Then he says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It would have been enough to just say, obey your parents in the Lord, you think. But he knew 2,000 years from now, there's going to come a generation that is not going to think it's right to obey your parents in the Lord. That is not going to be normal to obey your parents in the Lord. God had to tell him, by the way, this is right. I don't care what the college professors told you. I don't care what the sitcom told you. I don't care what your cousins and Willie and Johnny and them at school told you. This is right to obey your parents, and it is the first command. And why God says this is the most important command for children, and it's something that between the ages of 2 and 5, they need to know this. Obey, because if they don't get this down, I'm telling you, by the time they're 12 or 13 or 14, to try to instill that is almost hopeless outside of the Lord. And God says, children, obey your parents, right? Look at this next one. Honor your father and mother. So the first command is obedience to your parents in the Lord. This is right. The second one is honor. So the first one, it has to do with behavior, activity. Do what's right. Make them obey you. Come on, somebody. You have to make them early on. And the Bible talks a lot about it. The next one is a heart issue. Honoring your father and mother. Again, I got to tell you, honor is lost when your parents don't honor God and they don't honor each other. Honor for you as a parent will be lost when you don't do what you're supposed to do. And when you miss it, say you missed it. Come to your kids and say, I missed that. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. And your kids go, oh, yeah. And then they all understand that we're all human. Are you with me? But they're looking up to you as gods. And when you don't honor God and make God the center place in your house, you're already teaching them that is not important in this household. It's not what you say, it's what you do. Come on, is this too strong for a Sunday? I'm just trying to tell you about kids. And I'm telling you, this is all about relationship. Relationship, the three R's of raising children. Relationship, rules, and restraint. Relationship, what rules, what kids need that restraint and rules so that they can have a real relationship with you. People that don't have relationships have never learned to have to obey rules. They've never had restraint. And it affects all their relationships. Honor your father and mother. This is a heart thing. You have to teach them this. You have to teach them this early on. Come on, somebody. Anybody mad yet? I'm preaching truth. All right. Honor your mother, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. If you look back in Exodus, you'll see that that is the fifth commandment, but it's the first commandment with a promise attached to it. It comes with a covenant of blessing with it. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, all those things. Come on, they come with a kind of blessing, but God said, no, this one is different. Look what the blessing is, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. The Bible says if you want to have a long, blessed life, first you got to do what your parents say and honor and respect them. Why? Because you're not going to be able to hold down a job if you don't know how to do what you're told. You're not going to hold down, you're not going to hold operate in school if you can't do what the teacher has told you to do. I watched on the news that the school system nowadays says, hey, if the kids get crazy, we just let them get crazy and we walk out the room. And they show these rooms all ripped up and torn up by a kid. We need to pray for teachers. And pray that nobody like us becomes a teacher if we're not called to be a teacher. Because it would be another Columbine and only it would be the bad A kids acting up. Those are the ones that would be getting killed. Not innocent kids. Because teacher, come on. They want to arm the teachers. And I don't blame them. Like, are you kidding me? These kids, come on, somebody. Y'all getting quiet right there. Y'all feeling funny. Like, hold up, that don't sound right. There are some bad kids. And let me just say, they're normal kids that didn't have parenting, that weren't parented properly. Good kids that had bad parenting turn out to be bad kids. Are y'all with me? So the Bible lists a whole bunch of things that will give you long life, and this is one of them. And it starts early on in life. Are y'all with me? Go to the next verse for me, please. Verse 3. Yes. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let me look up here. That was verse 1. I lost my mind. Okay. Okay. Go back to the verse right before this, just in case I forgot it. Yeah. That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Go. Yes, thank you. Now for it. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. So he put some restraint on this, and I won't be able to get to all this today. He says, but bring them up in the training, in the training and admonition of who? Of the Lord. Bring them up in the training and the admonition. The. Now, what the Bible is talking about here is raising your children up in the principles of Jesus. Raising them up to have relationship with Jesus and to have relationship with you. Raising them up. Now watch, when I say relationship with you, you teach them as children to honor and respect you. So you, now watch, God gives us little babies. They come out as babies so that moms can hold them onto their breasts and watch them eye to eye. She's building this relationship. Before there's any rules and restraint, it's relationship. Shanae and I, when we had Trey and you know, our life was just completely different. We had just a lot more time and God had blessed us. And so when she was nursing Trey at night, she'd wake up and Trey's crib was in our room and all the stuff was in our bedroom. She'd get up and start nursing him and then hand him to me to burp him. So every night we'd get up and she's nursing him and it was a family thing where we build relationship and we can see that bonding, and it makes it easier to discipline. It's easier to give rules because early on this relationship is being built. And so it becomes hard for a father to discipline and set rules and restraint when at first that relationship isn't built. If dad isn't in that house loving and helping the child walk and picking him up and carrying him to the car and being a part of all that and kissing and all that, building that relationship, you can't punish a baby. You can't put rules on a baby. All you give to a baby is love and relationship. Are you with me? Rules and restraint come afterwards after you've started building relationship. But if relationship isn't built, kids aren't ready for rules and restraint. When we let the media raise them up, when we let their little computer screens raise them. Devices, thank you. Let their devices raise them and not us talking to them. There's this disconnect with them. Are you with me? And when they're, if children are consistently raised without both parents' love, although you may not see it, there's something being hardwired in them that's missing. Something's missing. And you may see it later in life, but something's missing. Children need mom and dad loving them early on, giving them rules early on, walking together in this thing for a child to be balanced, for a child to live in life and view things properly. And that's why God said this. God said, children, obey your parents. God is letting us know you got to make them obey you early on. This needs to be the first thing they know before they walk out of your doors and into kindergarten or any school. They need to know who you are and to obey you, to honor and respect you and revere you. They got to know that before they go out into the world. These kids, many kids are going out there and they never learned that because mom and dad didn't have enough time because either they weren't there, they were too busy, and no shade on them. They're trying to feed themselves. So many times they got 2 and 3 jobs. Somebody else is raising the kid. Many grandmas are raising babies now. Oh, y'all getting mad yet? I'm just telling you what it is. And so automatically there's not that respect there for mom and dad. If you're not there. All right, here, I'm going to close here. I'm going to close. I can feel it. All right, let me get to this last verse on it. Bring them up in the training. That word training right there is padeia. Padeia. And it means, when it says bring them up in the admonition, go up to, not verse 5, verse 4, I'm sorry. One verse, right there. Bring them up in the training. And that one translation says in the nurture. And that word is padia. It's where we get our word podiatrist. It's where we, like a doctor for babies. It's giving, it means the whole training and education of children, which relates to cultivation, mind and morals, and employees for the purpose, and now commands and admonitions, now reproof and punishment. It's the total training of a child. Notice there's no such thing as called potty teaching. It's potty because it's different than teaching. Now you can teach potty, you know, like I did some of the teaching with Trey, but Shanae did a lot of the training. Now with Trey, I did a lot of the training because he's a boy. With girls, Shanae did more of the training. You get it? Because we got 2 girls and 1 boy. So I had to show Trey how to pull his pants down, how to stand in front of the potty. Is that too graphic for y'all? Okay, all right. But what we used to do was we had to train him, but we had to reward him, walk him through and reward him for everything done in the right direction towards it. If he said, I got to use the bathroom, we got to celebrate it. When he used the bathroom, I was Elmo. Trey used to love Elmo. And back in that time, they had these Elmo, I think they would dance or something. Tickle me, Elmo. Tickle me, Elmo. You tickle him and he'd just dance. And guess who was Elmo? Every time Trey, it didn't matter where I was, if Trey used the potty at home, my phone would ring and Shanae would go, hey, is Elmo there? And I knew what she meant. Yes, he's here. And I don't even remember the voice now, and I don't know if I can hit that falsetto. But when she says, hang on, I want to speak to Elmo. Trey just used the potty, Elmo. Oh, let me talk to him. And she, it didn't matter if I was at work, at Sam's Club, wherever I was, I'd be like, oh, okay. And he would be so excited that he got to talk to Elmo, who was celebrating him using the potty. And it wasn't until recently when we told him in the last couple years that I was Elmo. And he was like, what? Didn't he, babe? I was like, that was me the whole time, dude. Tr- training, basic training. There's no such thing in the Army called basic teaching. They taught us. When I joined the Army, Army National Guard, taught us how to shower. They trained us. Wash from head to toe and wash down. Every detail, they went through it with pictures or with illustration. Hand grenade training. They didn't give you a book and say, well, this is how it works. No, they put you in a foxhole. I'll never forget when they put a live hand grenade in my hand. I'm down in there with the drill sergeant, and you have to jump in the foxhole and throw your arms out like this. And he throws a hand grenade in your hand, and he hit my chest so hard, I almost fainted. It's like, with a hand grenade. And you got to pull the pin and throw it. Grenade and duck down. They train you to that. They wouldn't dare hand us hand grenades and a book. It'd be a bunch of dead soldiers. You get what I'm saying? You got 7 seconds or something. I mean, they tell you that, and they're counting 1, 2, 3. You know, they're counting, so they're training you. This is what children need. They don't need a book. They need someone to jump in the foxhole with them, to jump everywhere they go, to walk them through life. And this is the only way they're going to learn it properly. Close your Bible.